Acts chapter number 2 is where we're going to turn for the preaching of God's word. Acts chapter number 2. We're going to take a break, as you can tell, from the book of Colossians. We were in Colossians last week. We only have a couple of weeks left in 2023. Have you noticed that yet? We're almost at the end of the year. Isn't that amazing? Boy, that time has gone by quickly. Just amazing how that is. And amazing that in this year we have had a theme of back to basics. I hope you haven't forgotten that. I know it's not something that I bring up all the time with you, although it was always on a slide in the foyer of the church every week. But that has been our theme this year, back to basics. There were four areas that we were focusing on as far as getting back to basics. And I've talked about three of those at different times. About once a quarter, I take a message and talk to you about one of those areas. We talked about Bible reading and getting back to the basics of being in the Word of God on a daily basis. And not just once a day, but hopefully several times throughout the day. And I hope that this year has been a good year for you in the area of Bible reading. If not, please don't be discouraged by that. Please don't let that be something where you just quit and give up because, I tried again and just failed. Please keep that battle up. You need the Word of God. You need to be in it. It is health to you. In fact, there's nothing greater that you can do for yourself outside of maybe being in church, but I would probably say even just daily Bible reading is more important than that. You need to be in God's Word. That will strengthen you more than anything else. And I know there are times where as you're reading God's Word because of different times of life that you're in or circumstances or spiritual oppression or whatever, it might seem like as you read the Word of God, it's just, it's dry, it's dusty, it's like trying to find water in the desert. But listen, keep it up, okay? By faith, keep it up and trust that God is doing things behind the scenes you don't know about. One of the things sometimes that we in our circles can sometimes get blinded by is this idea that every time I read the Word of God, it needs to be almost an epiphany, or there needs to be some spiritual, light that goes on and a light shine from heaven and, an angelic chorus as I read a scripture verse and just a new enlightenment comes to me. There are times when that happens. I've had that happen. Well, not the light from heaven, nor the angelic voices. But I've had it where I could tell God was really speaking to me, all right? So don't worry, you don't have to send me to the nut house, all right? But I have had times where it's like God is, it's as if he was sitting right next to me speaking almost in my ear, not literally, but it seemed as if he was right there with me. But I've had many, 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 many days, and I imagine you have if you've been a Christian for any length of time, where, boy, it was just reading out of habit and reading some things that, I kind of felt like I already knew that already. But listen, we do it by faith, don't we? We walk by faith and not by sight. So I hope it's been a good year for you. If not, hey, another opportunity this next year to grow in that area. And then we talked about prayer. Same thing. I hope it's been a good year for you in the regard of prayer and how we need to be praying for one another. And prayer ought to be something that as a church we do extensively. And it's something that I'm burdened about personally for us as a church. And I'm thankful. I believe, and I don't know for sure, I'm not the judge of all these things, but I do believe that in the last several years, our church has grown in the area of prayer, and I'm thankful for that. But let's continue that. Let's get back to the basics of praying together as a church and praying over things, all right? And then we talked as well about the need to witness, and we need to be back to basics in witnessing. That's an important thing. Sharing the gospel is something that we as Christians ought to do, and it ought to be part of our life's kind of focus is to give the gospel. And I hope, again, it's been a good year for you in that way. And maybe you started the year out well, but you've gotten kind of weak in that area again. Well, hey, this Saturday, there's a great opportunity to go with us down to State Street and hand out some gospel tracts if you're able, okay? I would encourage you to do that. By the way, it's a great time. It's a great time of fellowship. It is enjoyable to do that. And I can honestly say to you, my flesh rarely wants to go. But every time I go, I can honestly say when I'm done, boy, I'm so glad I went. It was spiritually refreshing for me. It was an encouragement, and it was just something that strengthened me spiritually. And I would encourage you, it's a great opportunity for you to not have to witness alone, but witness with other people. And of course, there's other ministries as well that you can be a part of that you can do the same thing with. But that's a great opportunity. So let me encourage you, let's go back to basics on witnessing. But now, tonight, I want to talk about the fourth area, and that is fellowship. Fellowship. Because one of the areas that we need to focus on is getting back to the basics in the area of fellowship. What is fellowship all about? Well, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 gives us a glimpse into the early church and their fellowship. Now, we already prayed over the message, so we won't do that again. But I want you to look at verse 42, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. This is obviously the early church. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." The early church continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So the apostles were fellowshipping together. They were meeting with the church. And the early Christians in that early church continued steadfastly in that fellowship. They were spending time with the apostles and therefore with one another. It was something that they did steadfastly. Now, when we think of the word fellowship, we have a certain idea that comes to our mind. But I want to encourage you with what really the Bible teaches us about fellowship. And hopefully that will be a help to us in understanding what we should be doing when we're talking about fellowship. So the Greek word that is translated in our King James Bible, fellowship, if I say it right, I'm not very good at Greek or any other language outside of English, is koinonia. And that word is translated, obviously, fellowship many times in our English Bible, but it's also translated other words. And the reason I bring that up is to help us understand when we can see more words that it's translated as, we can go, okay, if it means fellowship and it also means this and it also means this, then we can get a more full idea of what the word fellowship means. So let's look at a couple of those things, all right? First of all, that word is, outside of fellowship, it is translated as communion in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. Turn there with me if you would. We'll look at several scriptures, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. The same Greek word behind fellowship is also translated communion, which is obviously, since we are King James Bible believers around here, we know that it was properly translated communion, okay? But that ought to help us to understand a little bit more about what fellowship is about, okay? Because again, we have an idea in our mind with our modern English what fellowship means. So let's look at one of the other ways that the same Greek word is used. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. This is the apostle, obviously, writing to the church at Corinth. He says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" He's obviously talking about what we would call communion, right? The Lord's table. And that as we partake of that cup and as we partake of the bread, it is the communion of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ. Well, think about what that means. It means that as we partake of the Lord's table together, we are communing together in remembering the death of Christ. That as we partake of the bread, we partake of it together, don't we? We do so because at the same time, the idea is we are, not literally now, but figuratively eating the body of Christ. We're fellowshipping in that together. We are having communion in one area, that is the eating of the body of Christ, the drinking of the blood of Christ. Again, not literally, but figuratively, we're remembering his death by consuming those things and making him a part of us, and we're sharing in that together. And that's why the word communion is used, which is also basically a synonym of fellowship, isn't it? It's something that we do, listen, together, where we partake of the same things together. Let's look at another passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Here's another time that that same word, koinonia, is translated communion. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, and we'll look at verse 14. And the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship, there's that word, hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Well, light and darkness have no communion, do they? They don't do anything together. They are complete opposites. They share nothing in common, okay? So same idea here. It is something that you would do together, or something you would have in common. That's why communion and common are related words, right? Okay, let's look at Romans chapter 15. Here's another time that the Greek word koinonia is used, Romans chapter 15. But this is a little different use of it than we would probably think. When we think of the word fellowship, we have one idea in our mind, but this time we're going to see that the same Greek word is used to describe something that we probably wouldn't think of, Romans 15 and verse 26. Notice where the Apostle Paul says, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Now, the word that is from koinonia there is contribution. That doesn't sound anything like fellowship, does it? But wait a minute, it does when you think about it. Contribution. Think about the context of this contribution. It is, as the apostle here is writing to the Romans, he's saying that there are people in Macedonia and Achaia that want to help out the Christians that are in Jerusalem. And so what do? They take from their own pocket and they send it with the apostles to Jerusalem to help them. And what are they doing by sending money? They're saying, we are contributing to you so that we are helping you, so that we are a part of your work. Have you ever watched those, what do they call them? They call them telethons still, where PBS is raising funds. Do they call them telethons still? I forget what they're called. Something. They're trying to get money. Have you ever noticed, by the way, that PBS only shows the good shows during the time when they're trying to raise money? You know, the shows where some guys, recently they had one where some guy was building a cabin in the middle of Alaska. He's doing it all by hand, living by himself for like a year. I'm like, they don't show that kind of stuff normally. Normally it's Sesame Street with weird people on it, right? And when they want my money, then they show the shows that I like. Okay? Well, what do they say when they encourage you to give in those 10-minute windows that they're trying to get you to give before you get back to the good part of the show? Well, they try to say, listen, you want to have a part in making these great shows, don't you? So send us your money. And as you are sending your money, you're a contributing member, so that you are participating in the making of these great shows that we'll show once a year when we're trying to get your money. So what are they saying? By you giving the money, you are joining with us in the work. You see, that's contribution here. That's what Paul the Apostle was saying that the Macedonians and those of Achaia were doing in Jerusalem, is they were saying, listen, we want to be a part of what you're doing. We're glad you're there in Jerusalem. We want you to continue to be there in Jerusalem, the place that is, you know, that is the home of Christianity and the home of Judaism. We want you to be there to be a light and a gospel, so a gospel witness. So we're going to send money so that from a distance we are having fellowship with you. That's why the word contribution is used. It's a form of fellowship. Let's look at, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9 will be something similar. And we'll kind of move along with these last two. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, because we're talking about fellowship. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 13. And the apostle again says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection of the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. The word from koinonia there is distribution. Same idea. It's the apostle writing to the Corinthians about the fact that there are others who have been giving toward the work of the apostle, and listen, you need to do the same, is basically what he's saying in this area of 2 Corinthians. And he says, your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. He's encouraging the Corinthian church that as they give liberally toward the work of God, they are fellowshipping with, or they're distributing to it, they're taking part in the work. Which, by the way, the 60-some missionaries that we now support, as we give to them, we are fellowshipping with them. We're taking part in their work wherever they are. That's an encouragement, isn't it? Well, that's part of what the word fellowship means. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. Same general idea, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16. There are many other times that the word koinonia is used in the New Testament, but most of the time it is translated fellowship or something similar to what we're talking about here. Hebrews 13, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I hope you understand about our King James Bible that in the New Testament, when the word communicate is used, it is not just talking about talking to somebody. It is talking often about giving financially to them. That's kind of the old English word, all right? So to do good and to communicate, forget not. So he's encouraging them that, listen, it is important that you and I, when we see people who are doing right, that we communicate with them. In other words, that we would give to their work. Why? We want to join with them in the work, is the idea behind it. So we've seen some different ways that the Greek word that's translated fellowship is also translated in other English words. But now I want you to kind of turn the page on that a little bit and think now about the English word fellowship. Think about how it would break down if you were to break it down into a couple of different words or parts of words. What parts would we break fellowship down into? I would personally break it down into two parts, fellow and ship. The idea of ship would be a state of something. You're in the state of being. And then, of course, the word fellow. You're in the state of being a fellow with somebody. You're a participant in it, is the way I would break that word down as you think about how it breaks down. But then if we go beyond that, we just look at what the dictionary definition is. Here's what the dictionary definition of, again, I'm talking about the Greek word now, behind it. It means communion, fellowship, and listen to this last part now. Koinonia, the Greek word behind it, means sharing in common. Let me say that again. Sharing in common. Again, fellowship is the exact right word because it means the state of being a participant or a fellow with somebody, that you're related to them. That's the state of it. It means to share in common with somebody. So when we're encouraging ourselves with what the Word of God says about the early church, that they continued steadfastly in fellowship, what were they doing? They continued steadfastly in sharing these things in common. They were not living on an island to themselves, but rather they were entering into a state of communion, a state of fellowship with others. And that's an area that we as a church need to go back to basics on. And remember that one of the reasons we have church is we need to share things in common with one another. That this is a mutual agreement that we make to one another. Did you realize that when you joined the church? You see, joining the church is not just about I want to be able to vote on what we spend money on. Joining the church is not just about I want to be able to have all the privileges of membership, whatever those great privileges are. I have yet to figure it out. But listen, it's about I'm making, it's not a contract, but it's a little bit of a commitment to you when I joined the church years ago to say, I want to have things in common with you. I want to join with you in the work. And then I'm making a commitment to you that, listen, as long as you're a member of the church, you and I are linked. That this is an important thing. By the way, that's why we have something called membership. That's why we don't fall prey to the idea that some churches sometimes fall prey to, that we don't have membership and it's just kind of whoever's here and whoever's not here and, you know, whatever. No. Because one of the things that's important is not just that, not anybody and everybody who comes to the church and just attends and just is here for a few Sundays or whatever. Sorry, there's no commitment there. But when we join, and again, I think sometimes we don't always realize this when we join, but we're saying, listen, I'm linked to you. You and I now are brothers and sisters in an even greater way than just being Christians. We are brothers and sisters. We have something in common, and I'm committed to you. That is fellowship. As we've talked about in Acts chapter 2, the early church made much of fellowship. They made much of fellowship. Here's just a few things that we know from Scripture about them making much of fellowship. Number one, they met together how often? How often did they meet together? In the early part of Acts, daily. We have yet to start services every day. And I don't think that's what God wants us to do, okay? So don't worry. But I do think God wants us to daily be in fellowship with one another. Daily be in contact with one another. To daily pray for and care for one another. The early church met together daily. They not only met together daily, they served together. And I think that's a lot of the meeting that they were doing. They were meeting together to serve together. Because they were going to the temple and praying together, or they were going to the temple and doing this, or they were maybe just meeting together to have fellowship over food and share in the Word of God, but they were meeting together daily. They were often together. They served together. Listen, they suffered together. The early church suffered together. And according to Acts chapter 4, we read this for our scripture reading, so we won't go back to it. They had all things common. And what that meant was, voluntarily now, that if I had a need and you had something that could meet that need, voluntarily you would give it, not looking at it as this is mine and I guess I'll give it, but rather this is ours, and if you have a need, then God gave it to us so I can meet your need. Now again, that was not forced upon them. It's clear from Scripture it was voluntary. So we're not talking about communism. But we are talking about a liberal mentality toward one another, a love for one another. That fellowship was so important to them that they looked at one another as, it would be like this. In my home with my children, right? When one of the children has a need, if there's a hospital bill, because they had to go to the hospital, I don't look at them and say, okay, Rachel, I'm going to pay this now, but I'm keeping track, and as soon as you get a job, you're paying this back. I don't do that to her. I don't even do that with Caleb. Caleb's 17 years old. He has a job and can work hard and all that. Listen, I don't even do that with him. You know what I say? No, we're in a household together that when one has a need, it's the need of everybody. And the truth of the matter is, if God forbid something like that happened to me and there was some big debt in the house, I would not feel bad about saying to all the household, okay, listen, we're in this together. Therefore, whatever extra money I have is going to go to this bill. Rebecca, any extra money you're able to come up with is going to go toward this bill. Caleb, Abigail, Daniel's out of the house now, so he's out of the loop. I might even call him up. I don't know. But I say, listen, we're in this together. You got to pitch in because we're a family. That's the idea of the way that the early church looked at it is we're together in this. It's not your need versus my need. It's we're together. This is fellowship. This is communion. This is we have things in common together with one another. We share in common. That's the early church. Now, the thing with us in our modern churches is we are constantly in danger of losing our emphasis on fellowship. We're constantly in danger of losing our emphasis on fellowship. Our ministry consumes us often. Our ministry can consume us. And here's what I mean by that. Whatever ministry you're involved in can become your part of church. And this is my thing. This is what I do. And there are others who do other things, but that's their ministry, and this is my ministry. You know, it's like the choir has their thing, and the nursery workers have their thing, and the really important people are the Sunday school teachers, right? Or whatever. different factions of church, and this is my ministry, and this is what I do, and oh, there's a need over here, but he's not really part of my group. Ministry can consume us. Now listen, outreach within a church is good. In other words, what we did Sunday night, trying to bring the lost in to get the gospel to them is very good, and we should do that often. But can you and I understand, I hope we do, that that is not the primary focus of church services? I know that might sound a little bit weird to our independent fundamental Baptist ears, but the church services do not exist to save the lost. You and I should be sharing the gospel every single day to the lost. And if we have a special service where we bring them in and focus on getting the gospel to them, that's a good thing. But that should not be the primary goal of our church services. Primary goal of our church services is fellowship. The kind of fellowship we're talking here, where we share together in worshiping of our Savior, in caring for one another, in loving one another, so that we can be strengthened, so that we can go out into a wicked world and shine as lights and salt in this wicked world and get the gospel to the world, yes! But this is where we get strengthened to do that work. And we need to have that fellowship. So again, ministry can consume us, and the church can begin to become about all about these activities to bring the lost in. And again, those are not wrong, but that should not consume us. Sometimes in churches as well, we lose emphasis on fellowship because the machinery of the church can become our master. And yes, churches can become machinery. We're just going from one thing to the next. Have you ever felt that way? By the way, our church is small. But even our church can get that way. It's going from one thing to the next. I know of a few of you are nodding your heads because you feel like me. Boy, sometimes we're just going one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. And the machinery of the church continues on and we lose the focus on fellowship. We got to be careful of that. We got to watch for that. Activities are good, but we got to be careful on that. We tend to lose our emphasis on fellowship because we fill our time at church and then we just go home. We kind of do our time and then we're out. Because while I was there, the worship service can become the only reason we attend church. Does that ring a bell with anybody sometimes? That we can get into a mentality of, well, church is all about just, it's the worship service, and I was there for the worship service, and so I did the church thing. But wait a minute, worship service is important, but that's not really all that we're about. It's an important thing. But again, this church doesn't exist just so we can have worship services. Again, I know that sounds funny to our independent Baptist ears, but that's not the sole reason for the existence of the church. And the worship service can be something that we check off of a little box and say, well, I did it. And I did my church thing and off I go. Because, I mean, I was there. I was warm in my chair. Isn't that what I'm supposed to do as a Christian? Well, that's not fellowship. The word fellowship in our mind oftentimes becomes relegated to a once-a-month potluck. And we think that's what fellowship is. It's a potluck. That's why it took such a long time to define what does fellowship mean. And I think you know it doesn't mean a potluck, right? And I know none of you thought that ahead of time. So we need to get back to the basics of fellowship. So with that in mind, when we do get back to the basics of fellowship, what shape will that take? What will that look like when we get back to the basics of fellowship? And in order for us to think about what shape that will take, think about the word fellowship and what it means. It means sharing in common. So when we get back to the basics of sharing in common, what will it look like? Well, first of all, it will take the shape of time with others. Time with others. If we're going to fellowship, it's going to take time. And in our American 21st century economy, that's a tough one right there. You know what we have a lot of as Americans, even though you may not feel like it? We have a lot of money. So it's easy for us to throw money at things. But you know what we have a little of? It's time. In other countries, third world countries, they have a lot of time and very little money. So it's easy for them to throw time at things, and they can only give a little bit of money. But I want to encourage you, let's not let that stop us from giving important time to the fellowship of the church. And when I say that we'll take shape of time with others, here's what I mean. Not just the others in the church that we like. And I'm going to say that again. Not just the people in the church that we like. Because I know how it is with you. It's the same as it is with me. There are people in the church that you like and others I like them too. You know what I mean? There are some that naturally you get along with. And you're drawn to them because we have so much in common, and to talk with them is just, it's easy, and we've just got so much that we have communion with, and it's easy to fellowship with them. But I want to encourage you that you are a part of a body that includes members that are not like you. And God wants you to fellowship with them too, to share in common with them. That's what it means. Turn with me quickly over to Luke chapter 6, because we got a lot to cover and only a few minutes to do it. So turn quickly, all right? Luke chapter number 6, verse 27. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. This is Luke 6 and verse 29. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them, notice this, if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Listen, don't just share in common with those that you are naturally inclined to get along with. It's not wrong to hang out with them and share with them and encourage them. But go beyond that. And look for somebody maybe somebody that's out of your age group. You younger people, look beyond your peer group. And recognize that God wants you to share in common with somebody else. Maybe somebody that's quite a bit older than you or quite a bit younger than you. But God wants you to look beyond and share in common with others. It will also take the shape not only of time with others, it will take the shape of openness and honesty. Openness and honesty. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. Remember, it says sharing in common. That means that if we're going to have true fellowship, we got to get beyond the platitudes. That when we have conversations with one another, it's not just about the weather, it's not just about the Packers, and it's not just about hunting, and it's not just about, I don't know what ladies talk about, whatever they talk about, I don't know. Don't think I want to know, okay? But it's got to get beyond the platitudes and openness and honesty. And it's not that, you know, we share every little detail. No. And by the way, sometimes in some ways, there's a little bit too much of that at different times. Okay? Be careful. But if you're really sharing something because you need some prayer and encouragement in an area, do that. Be careful. Openness and honesty doesn't mean talking about somebody else. That's gossip. But you can share with one another your true needs and bring those things before one another. And yes, be even a little vulnerable. Listen, you are not super Christian, and neither am I. Fellowshipping with one another, openness and honesty, it will also take the shape of a willingness to listen to others and their needs and problems. Galatians 6 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It will also take the shape of praying for others, and it will take the shape of meeting the needs of others where possible. That means sometimes monetarily we will take care of one another. Many times in prayer, sometimes in working for somebody and helping them and meeting a need that they have in a certain area. And many times it will also take the place of exhortation. We don't have the time to look at it, but Hebrews chapter 10, you might write down Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, where it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." That, listen, one of the things we are to do in this fellowship is exhort one another. You need me, I need you, we need one another, sometimes for a good, swift kick in the pants. I need somebody every once in a while to come along and say, be careful. And you need that as well. We can do so in love and kindness and grace, but that's part of fellowship. So what are the obstacles to us being what we ought to be in the area of fellowship? Number one, selfishness, a self-focus. It's not all about me, and it's not all about you and what my needs are. It's not all about what your needs are. We got to get beyond that. Got to get beyond our selfishness. Another difficulty or obstacle in the area of fellowship, and this is a big one. Are you ready for it? Here we go. Personality conflicts. Personality conflicts. Because sometimes you have one personality that just automatically clashes with another personality. But you understand that within the realm of the church, there is no room for a personality conflict to get in the way of Christian fellowship. None. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, our flimsy excuses about I couldn't get along with brother or sister so-and-so because their personality was different than mine, those ain't gonna fly with God. He's not gonna be impressed. Personality conflicts stand in the way of true Christian fellowship. And what that shows is a lack of spiritual maturity in us. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians, right? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? Yeah, we are many times. Personality conflicts are obstacles to us being what we ought to be in the area of fellowship. Here's another one, busyness. Whether that's personal busyness or ministry busyness often, that can be also an obstacle. And then activities in the church just for activity's sake. I need everyone to understand and recognize, and we've got a good church in this area. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad, but let us be careful, okay, that we don't have activities just for activity's sake. We don't need more to do. Let me say that again. We don't need more to do. If there is an activity that blesses the church and fellowship is increased, true fellowship, again, not just, you know, kind of on the surface, but true fellowship, then praise the Lord. If it's reaching the lost with the gospel, we ought to do it if we can, right? But just activities for activity's sake, because churches ought to be busy and I like being active and I want more to do, be careful, okay? This is not an activity center and I'm not the activities director, okay? Be careful, because that can sometimes stand in the way of true Christian fellowship to the point where when we do come together in a church service, it can get, we're all so exhausted that when it's done, we all just want to go home. And I'll admit to you, sometimes that's the way I feel. When I'm done with a Sunday or a Wednesday night, man, many times I'm beat. Well, that's probably a sign that there might be some activity that needs to go to the wayside. Because if I don't have the energy, or if you don't have the energy to truly fellowship with the believers that God has placed in my life, then there is a priority that's off somewhere. There's a good chance, okay? Of course, it could be that we need to eat a little bit better or take our vitamins, but we won't talk about that, all right? All right, and then the last point in the message is this. What are the advantages that we have? We've talked about the obstacles. What are the advantages that we have to fulfill this need for getting back to the basics of fellowship? There's one advantage, and that is, friends, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. You know that He'll help you to get over the obstacles. He'll help you to understand the things that you need to set aside so that you're not as busy, so that you have time for fellowship. He'll help you to understand how you can get along with that brother or sister who's a little difficult to get along with. He'll help you to understand what to do and how to do it and how to meet the needs. And he'll give you a love for the people that God has placed in your life. If you and I will walk with him, he will help us. And he is the great comforter that the Lord Jesus sent so that we could be the Christians that he wants us to be. He still is, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we ought to be thankful for that and walk in the Spirit, and he'll help us to grow and get back to the basics in this area of fellowship. Let's pray, and then I'll let you go. Dear Heavenly Father, I do pray that you bless our church in this area of fellowship. Lord, I know that we need to grow, and I do thank you, Lord. These are wonderful church members, wonderful, wonderful church members. Lord, I don't know of a church that I would rather pastor than this one right here, with people really and truly that are trying to fulfill what you want them to do. But Lord, you also know that we often, often fail. And Lord, we're so busy in other areas, and we often struggle even just sometimes to get along with one another because of personality issues and all of that. Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here to comfort us, to guide us, to teach us, to conform us into the image of our Savior. And I pray that in this area, you would do that in our church, that we would grow in the area of fellowship. Bless these, your people. Keep them safe as they go their ways tonight. Heal those who are sick. Encourage them. And Lord, help us to love one another and meet one another's needs. And I thank you that you will. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.